Justin, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, could you tell us what does this new mapping from Coastal Risk Australia actually show us?
Yeah, well, they've incorporated some new research that's been done in the US by NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. And they've looked, we're learning more and more all the time about the interactions in the environment from rising temperatures and increasing greenhouse gas emissions, and in particular on our glaciers and on the Antarctic and Arctic ice shelf. And now we're able to understand more and more how that could affect our seas through rising sea levels. And what we've found is that we've probably underestimated significantly by as much as 3 times the potential sea level rise from global warming if we don't take urgent action to keep warming to under 1.5 degrees. And as you said, 2.7 metres, let's just put that in context. We're talking about Sydney Airport, Botany Bay, most of our coastal communities here in Sydney and on the north coast, billions of dollars of infrastructure. It's a really big impact and we should be very concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the airports, that's just one thing that you mentioned. It's coming across the airport. What other infrastructure do you think that we could lose in New South Wales as a whole?
Well, we're already losing, and I think that that's important to understand. Last year, we had a big East Coast low. You know, increasing storm events is a part of climate change. It washed houses, swimming pools. Everyone will remember the visuals off Collaroy Beach. It broke down the wall at the surf club at Coogee. We saw the ocean walk at Bondi, part of it washed into the sea. Those impacts are already happening now. Increase sea levels by another metre, 2 metres, maybe 2.7 metres, and add on top of that increasing storm frequency and severity. And we are talking about a whole heap of public infrastructure, our roads, our parklands, our walkways, bridges, seeing a whole heap of commercial infrastructure. There's a lot of businesses that are overlooking the sea, particularly think about places like Manly and Brighton of Sands and those places. And then, of course, there's all of the private infrastructure. Our houses, many, many billions of dollars would be at risk and essentially would not be livable with those sorts of sea level rise.
It's a pretty daunting thought, I suppose, as well. So what is this mapping actually based off?
Well, it's based on a greater understanding about how the melting ice caps essentially are going to impact sea level rise. And there's all sorts of interactions in the environment when you see that the cool water coming off those shelves mixing with other warmer water. And we're learning more and more how all those interactions work. So sea level rise affects different communities in slightly different ways. So some areas will be more susceptible to rise than others. And so this mapping is an attempt to really show what areas of the world, and this has been incorporated into Australia by Coastal Risk Australia, what areas are at greatest risk. And that's the sort of thing that should be factored into our long-term planning, you know, when it comes to planning the building of new housing or infrastructure, and how we start to plan a retreat from the coast. We can't have people living in areas that are facing inundation, and that's the sort of thing that is a very real possibility under these scenarios. Even at half that, there's going to have to be some areas where we start to move back from them, remove some of that infrastructure before it's damaged irreparably by climate change.
Now, we have spoken about some of the devastation that would be possible, and it's pretty terrifying. But you've said as well that the New South Wales government is completely unprepared for any of these situations. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, they're unprepared, and they have put inadequate resources into both mitigating climate risk, and that's New South Wales' contribution, mitigating our contribution to climate change, and also preparing the community to adapt. We've got a $1.5 billion climate change fund. Very little of that, relatively, is put into abating emissions and transitioning to renewable energy. Far more of that is put into questionable projects that aren't going to reduce emissions. We need to get more serious. We need to phase out coal. Well, everyone now recognises that that's our biggest contributor. And around the world, everyone is moving to renewable energy. We seem to have this reluctance with coalition governments at state and federal level, and even the Labor government in Queensland, to recognise we need to move away from coal. Let's put a phase-out plan in place. Over 10 years, we can transition those communities. That's the biggest single contribution we could make to mitigating the worst impacts of climate change and reducing that sea level rise.
And so just before I do let you go, Justin, I mean, you mentioned coal there, but I suppose what are some of the other ways that the Greens are proposing state and federal governments could be better combating climate change?
Well, there are a range of ways. I mean, land use is also a big contributor to climate change, and we've seen new tree clearing laws allowed in New South Wales. The more trees we clear, those carbon sinks are lost, those places that can lock up carbon and keep it out of the atmosphere. So managing land use, allowing our vegetation to remain and be regrown is very important. Moving to renewable energy is important, not just to stop the emissions coming out of the coal-fired power stations, but also when we've got a robust renewable energy network, we can start to electrify our transport sector and remove transport emissions from our climate change figures. Those are the three big areas in New South Wales. They're the biggest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions at a state level. But everyone needs to be thinking about what they can do in their own personal capacity, how they move around the state, where they get their power from. All those things will be drivers on business and on the government to make the changes we need.
Well, Justin, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks, Tess.